Welcome to Women Like Me, Stories in Business, the podcast that will captivate you with stories of success, resilience, and growth. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, a curious mind, or simply seeking motivation and inspiration, you'll gain practical tips, innovative strategies, and actionable advice that you can apply to your own life and business endeavors. Now here's your host, business coach, and master persuader, Julie Fairhurst.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another session of Women Like Me, Stories in Business. And I am super excited today. You guys have got to hold on for this entire interview that we're doing. I have Jill Fisher here, and I can't even explain how amazing this lady is, but she's going to do it for us, and you will learn as we go along. First thing I want to say, though, is that Jill wrote in the Women Like Me book. This was volume number 9, and I am so proud and happy to say that we just released this book last Friday. So today, I think, is Thursday, and we are in number one, but we were in bestsellers categories all over the place. But we did hit number one in mental illness. And we also hit, I think it was number five or eight. I'm not sure, but in spiritual and mental healing as well. So I am just stoked. So if you guys haven't gotten this book, it's called Whispers of Warriors, Women Who Refuse to Stay Broken. Love for you to get a copy. Spectacular stories. And if you read, well, once you listen to this interview, you will know why Jill is in this particular book. All right, that's my plug for our book, Jill.
Awesome, okay. Love it.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself before we sort of dive in?
Well, thank you, Julie, and thank you for including me in this book and in this wave of women stepping into their power. I got goosebumps even saying that. I really feel honored and like it's sacred space. So, ooh, more goosebumps.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Ooh, yeah. So a little bit about me. I am a hypnotherapist and an energy healer, and an international teacher and coach. And I'm currently now founder of the College of Holistic Healing. So all about healing and spiritual growth. And, I'm actually working towards my PhD. I've got a master's in energy psychology and clinical hypnotherapy. Wow. So, love this world of healing and transformation. I'm immersed in it. I'm also a single mom of two amazing, young adults now, 18-year-old and 22-year-old. Holy smokes. So I raised them on my own, going through a journey as a single mom and being an entrepreneur healer. So it's been an adventure, and my life is like we were talking before, of unrecognizable from how it was.
Yeah.
And grateful for the journey, right? Grateful for the journey into healing. Yeah.
Yes. Well, wow. I didn't even know some of that, Jill. Okay. So let's start off with where you were. And then we can get to where you are. And then hopefully we'll have some lessons in there or some tips that you can give to some of the listeners so that they, if they're feeling stuck or in the same kind of situation, as how they can maybe help themselves. So I really love, I think the beginning of your story is so powerful. You talk about holding your 1-month-old baby in your arms, your 3-year-old by the hand. You walk out the door as your husband yells, "You'll never make it without me."
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what was happening in your life at that time?
It was, it was a big moment in my life, really big moment of enough courage to walk out the door. And it was at that point, you know, if you can imagine, we're living in central South British Columbia, Canada, and I'm holding my baby, my newborn, like she's just 1 month old, in my arms, and I'm numb, like I'm just numb, and my son's hand is in my hand, and we're walking out the door, and my husband's in a rage, and yelling at me, half drunk, and that I can't make it. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know if I can, but I have this inkling that life can be better than what this is. You know, it's just like a little crack opening of light, of some hope. And that got me out the door, and that mother bear too, right? Like at that point, my self-esteem is like maybe in the minus zone. And, but the protection mechanism, like the, you know, I think it's a basic survival mechanism of protecting our babies, protecting our kids. And I could see the rage that my husband was dealing, or not dealing with, but experiencing, was starting to go towards them. And that was like the last straw. I was like, no, they did nothing to deserve this. And so I left my marriage at that time. And I didn't know how I could build my life, but I had this just glimmer of hope. And I had some friends, you know, I'd been at their house, and their house wasn't full of the chaos and drinking and abuse that I was existing in. And even I remember visiting my brother's home, and it was like, oh, this is a little bit more normal. Like, it's a little bit calmer here, huh? And it's funny how, like, when we're immersed in things, we just assume the rest of the world is living the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true. Sometimes it's hard to see outside of what we're living.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah.
So how did it go for you? I mean, how fearful? It must have been very scary for you to do that, especially with such a young children. I totally get the mama bear stuff, though. Yes, that would.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would edge me.
I think a lot of women actually have the courage to leave their abusive partner when they can see that their kids are at risk.
Right. Yes.
And the brainwashing or the indoctrination that happens being immersed in a highly dysfunctional marriage, you know, we're adaptable. We try and make the best out of anything. And I've lived my life being highly sensitive and empathic to other people's feelings. And that can be a double-edged sword, where it's great as a therapist because I can really compassionately connect with people. Mm-hmm. It can be not so great in relationship, because you automatically see the best in people, and that can create denial for what's really going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's almost like and I have that in a lot of the women who write in the Women Like Me books, is the, well, I could see that there was a good person inside there. Yeah. I wanted to help him.
Totally.
That holds a lot of women in those situations.
Yeah, because we really, and we honestly do, like, we really see the best, and we really feel like almost like a savior complex. Like, we think we can be the one to help this person, to save this person. And it's not our job to do that, is a misunderstanding, right? We can influence others, but we can't control. It's like the AA, you know, you can't control people, places, or things.
Right.
And we can control our attitude and our behavior. But we don't have control over others.
Right.
And when we feel so deeply somebody else's energy, it's like it's our energy. And so it's hard to untangle that and see what is theirs and what is mine. And to be able to see another person as capable for their journey, that actually going in and saving can actually cripple them.
So when do you think that, because I know that you talked about going to a treatment center where your husband was. Yeah. I'm not sure if it was like you were going for a session or something like that. Is that where sort of your aha moment hit? That,
totally. Yeah.
Can you tell us?
My parents were really supportive. They came out with me because the kids were so little still, right? And it was a few months after I initially left him, and I was getting swooped up in that, well, maybe he'll get better. And, you know, maybe this drug rehab center will work and he'll release, like, be free of his addictions and be the man that I fell in love with. Cause he's a wonderful person. It was the drugs and alcohol and all of that addictive energy that was taking over him, becoming even dangerous to be around.
Right.
And so he went into a drug rehab center in Nanaimo, British Columbia, on Vancouver Island, and they had a program called Insight. I think they still have it, where it's like a 2 years of Al-Anon in a week, right? So you go and you go from like 9 to 5 and it's group therapy basically on what it's like to be a loved one of an addict and how to support you. And in that, my aha was, oh, it's not all his fault. I'm part of the dynamic. Like I had no idea, because it's so easy to blame an addict, right? Because the behavior is so destructive.
Yes.
And you can get lots of people on board to blame them as well.
Yes.
So, my aha was like, oh, I have programming that has me attracted to this, right? And if it's not him, it'll be somebody else if I don't shift me.
Yes.
That was a game changer for me.
Yeah.
So that sent me into taking a lot of courses and a lot of healing.
I remember years and years ago, and I don't even remember who said it, but I remember hearing that if you're in a room with 100 people and 99 of them are normal, but that one person is dysfunctional, you're going to find each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like magnets. It's just like boom. Yeah.
And that's, and I think, Jill, that's why it's so important that we, as you said, you realize that there was, you were part of the issue of what was going on. And I think that that's so important, because I think if we can't see that, there's a reason we're with somebody. And if we can't see our part in that, then it's hard for us to move on.
Right.
Hard for us to heal.
We're even giving up our power in blaming other people, and seeing, well, it's his fault. He got beaten up by the drug dealer. He ran our car into the mountain and smashed it up. He, you know, did all these outrageous things. And so it's so easy to blame.
Yes.
And what happens though, then, is that we're outsourcing our power. We're like giving it away. And that it's all up to the other person or the circumstance, the environment. And the reality is of coming back to ourselves of, you know, I'm the dance partner in this. What's going on in here that this is showing up in my life? Mm-hmm. Right. And to come back into even looking at like the dynamics or the programming inside me, not fault or blame back to me, because that's easy to do too. It's like, oh, it's all my fault. I'm broken. I'm defective. Something's wrong with me, right? It's so easy to go there.
Yes.
And it's not that. It's that there's programming that's not me, that's attracting this energy. How do I rewire that programming? How do I purge that programming? Because that's not who I am.
Do you think, so where do you think that that programming comes from? Do you think that that's something that happens to it? Oh, she laughs. That's something that happens to us in our childhood.
Oh my gosh, we're born into it. We're born into it. It's you know, the programming. Yes, it's our childhood and it's our ancestry and it's our culture. Right. It's been here for thousands, maybe millions of years of this oppressive, submissive energy. That women in particular fall into, and male dominant energy. So that misogynist patriarchal energy, we're born into that world. It's still here. It's not as severe as it's been, but it's still here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's in the air we breathe. That's why I laugh. It's like, it's everywhere. That's why it's also not our fault.
Right.
It's not men's fault either. Right. Right. They're born into it as well.
Yeah.
So it's that dynamic of the energy we're living in. It's in media. It's like our TV shows, our videos, our social media. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. So super easy to,
you know, I just love what you just said. You said it's not our fault and it's not their fault.
Right.
It
is our responsibility though.
It is our responsibility.
Once we see it, then we can do something about it. And so that was my aha in that drug rehab center. In the Al-Anon group therapy was, oh, I can do something about it. Boom, I reclaim my power.
Right. Yes.
That was a game changer.
Yes.
And I had no clue. Yeah. Right. So I have so much compassion with the people that I work with, the the women that I work with in what they're struggling with, because most of us have no idea that we've given away our power to other people, because our culture also teaches us to blame everyone else.
Yes.
Right? It's the government's fault. It's the economy's fault. It's the education system. Yes. It's the medical system. It's COVID. It's male misogyny. It's whatever, right? Yes. It's living, women's lib. Like we're trained to give away our power.
Yes.
Rather than stand in our power and go, okay, what can I do about this?
Yes.
How can I heal?
So did you, so what journey did you go on then after you had that aha moment? Like, where did you go? Like, you went, okay, I see my part in this and I want to correct that or heal that. Or so what was it that you did? Where did you start? So if that was me, where would I go? Right. What would I do?
So I started with Al-Anon meetings.
Okay.
And I got some ahas there, and then I did some church counseling. Got some ahas there, worked with a psychiatrist or psychologist and got some ahas there. And then I started taking group programs and coaching programs, personal development programs. And that's where I stumbled into hypnotherapy. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? And I didn't go looking for it, right? It was in a package that I bought for personal development.
Yeah.
And in that, it included some hypnotherapy sessions. So I showed up and I even asked the hypnotherapist, I was like, why would I, you know, cause she basically was a stranger to me. I was like, why would I give my brain to you? And she laughs. She's like, well, you're not, I'm here to help you with what you want support with and you have full control. And I was like, okay, well, let's give this a shot. You know, I paid for it. I might as well try it out. And then I was blown away. I had no idea, like going into, so hypnotherapy, like meditation, right? Being in a relaxed state so you can access your subconscious, your unconscious programming, which is the bulk of what drives our behavior.
Right. So it's just, so then really you're being guided with suggestions then?
I mean, hypnotherapy is getting in that relaxed state, and then it's doing processes within that to release, you know, if you think of distorted energy or toxic energy, lots of criticism or programming, like we were talking about before, right? Of being suppressed or minimized, and going into that and releasing the energy, almost like a displacement, releasing the energy, the programming in your unconscious, your subconscious, so that there's space now for the empowering context, like if you think of affirmations, right? We can do affirmations till the cows come home, and they'll just bounce off negative programming because there's no space for it.
Right.
So a much more effective route is to actually let go of the negative programming and putting like negative quotation marks, the disempowering, yes, the suboptimal programming,
yeah,
and then bringing in higher frequency programming, like belief in yourself, you know, a simple one of like, you know, bringing in the frequency of a loving God, yes, right? Bringing in the frequency of being fulfilled and powerful in my future, bringing it into my cells now, right? And it with the context or the kind of like the foundation of hypnotherapy, it's so much faster and easier. Because you're not arguing with it. Our normal brain and our, like right now, our conscious state, our brain, yes, frequency is probably around 30 or 40 hertz, right? Like it's relatively fast. And in that we have a filter, it's called the reticular activation system. It's a part of our brain that filters out what we want to be. All of it comes into our subconscious, but our conscious awareness has this filter system, this RAS, that allows us to be aware of what's important to us, what supports our belief system, what's emotionally charged, and the rest just lands in our subconscious and we're not aware of it. So in our conscious awareness, if we have a belief system that women are less important than men,
mm-hmm,
which many of us have this because it's in our culture.
Yes.
Unconsciously, even if consciously, you know, that's not true, unconsciously, we can have that programming, then there's a way of seeing the evidence for that. right? Look, I don't get paid as much as that other person, or look, that person gets the promotion over me and I have more experience. Like, we'll see all the evidence that proves us right.
Yes.
That can actually create like a defeated energy of complacency of, oh, it's just the way it is.
So it's almost your belief system. And then you're just, it's like when you're pregnant. Before you get pregnant, you don't see any pregnant women. Yeah, you get pregnant, there's pregnant women everywhere.
Totally.
You buy a car, you don't even know what kind of car that is. You buy that car, all of a sudden, 1,000 other people around you have that car.
Exactly. That's exactly what that reticular activation is. It filters what you see. Anything you have emotion on, it will identify because it's important because you have emotion on it. This is why we have PTSD for trauma, because there's emotion that's not been processed.
Right.
So then our filter system identifies anything that resembles a similar danger. So then we get the response of the trauma again, and we live in that cycle.
Yeah.
Once you process the energy, it goes to the back part of the information, still there, but there's not that emotional charge on it.
Right.
So then you're still aware of the information, but it doesn't trigger the trauma again.
Right.
Because it's been processed.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So then you're free. Then you're free to actually choose. You're not choosing from a polarity of danger, safety, danger, safety.
Right. And so if somebody was thinking, oh, you know, that sounds like something that could help me, what kind of a process do women go through? Like how or men as well, but you know, we're women like me, so yeah. Focus on that. So how long does it take for people to sort of get on the right track, clean out their closet and put new clothes in, for example?
That's an excellent, excellent question, because for me, it's become a lifestyle because I've chosen it as a career.
Right.
And I'm constantly expanding and growing. So it really depends how much you want to clear. It depends how complex the programming initially is. Mm-hmm. For me, 2 sessions of hypnotherapy, I was hooked. I always had I had cancer in my lymph system here in my neck in my 20s. And I always had like a stabbing pain right underneath my collarbone here. And I just kind of lived with it, you know, because we adapt, right?
Yeah.
And 2 sessions, and we weren't even talking about it. We were talking about more of like my recovery of going through divorce and releasing anger to my husband and, you know, finding myself. That's really what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And after 2 sessions, that stabbing pain disappeared.
Wow.
Right. And, you know, it's what, I don't know, 20, well, 15 years later now. And it hasn't come back. Right. And I've been cancer free since. And I work with cancer patients too, where we can, you know, get pain levels from 20 out of 10 down to like 2 or 1 out of 10.
Wow.
In moving the energy and processing whatever's caught in your body. Your body's holding unprocessed energy, right? So emotions that haven't been processed live in your body and show up eventually as physical problems, physical illness. So, so even the cancer that I had in my lymph system, if I look at, you know, I had that in my early 20s, I had, you know, 2.5 decades of stuffing emotions and not processing emotions. And there's no way to prove this, but I really do believe that, you know, that accumulation of unprocessed energy caught in my body was part of the cause of the cancer.
Yeah, I'm certainly not a doctor or anything like that. I write books and I'm in sales, but I do know, just because of my past and my siblings and a few friends, that I know that if they could just clear the negativity, they wouldn't be so sick all the time. They wouldn't. You know, I know from the stories too, women hold everything in. And that was part of why I started Women Like Me. I know there's obviously, look at what they can do if they were to come to someone like you for help. Mm-hmm. My goal was to help them write their stories and get that out of their bodies and hopefully get them on some sort of a more positive healing threshold if possible. And so I'm with you. I really believe that we carry all that in our bodies and it comes out somewhere, whether it's cancer or pains or,
it can come out as like angry outbursts over like nothing, right?
Yes, you know,
like the car isn't parked quite right and we blow up.
Yes.
Or you know, it's like a pressure cooker and we keep stuffing our emotions and building up the pressure and building up the pressure. Yeah. Eventually it's going to blow if we don't have healthy outlets.
Right.
So some people, you know, they use sports or other things as healthy outlets, eating really well, doing a lot of, there's so many different ways to let the steam out. Mm-hmm. And I'm a fan of the holistic view of there's no one magic bullet, like your book, right? Having that outlet for people to express is totally cathartic. Like it's totally healing.
Yes.
And it's insufficient on its own.
Yes.
Right. And I believe that hypnotherapy is insufficient on its own. Yeah. It's coupled with coaching. It's coupled with building a support system around you. It's coupled with doing some energy healing as well. It's coupled with exercising and choosing healthy food. Like it's a whole lifestyle. That's why I was like, depends how you, like your question about how many sessions does it take to fix this? It's like, well, it's not really like a one pill magic, you know, remedy.
Right.
It's a lifestyle of reclaiming yourself. Yeah. And depending on how big you want to be in the world for the expression of who you are in the world would determine how many sessions you want to do.
Ah.
Right. It can be a lifestyle of you know, if you want to be someone like Oprah, then you constantly do things like this to heal the, you know, the upper limit, that glass ceiling that your programming might bang up against.
Yes.
If you want to do something like empower yourself to step into healthy relationships, that would be a common topic, right?
Yeah.
Of creating healthy relationships. It's, you know, your primary, I know you know this, is your primary relationship is with self.
Yes.
And having a healing relationship with yourself and caring for yourself naturally permeates out to caring for healthy relationships with other people.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And that's a journey. That's, you know, like the two sessions that I had that disappeared this pain under my collarbone. I kept going cause I was thrilled and I was really curious, like, how is this working? Cause this is so much faster and easier than talk therapy than, you know, like not to diss other professions, but I was like, whoa, this is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and there are stats that say six sessions of hypnotherapy is like 93% successful compared to 600 sessions of talk therapy that's like 37% success rate.
You know, I, as you say that, I was thinking of my past and in my 20s, I got involved in a meditation group. Mm-hmm. And I did that for almost 8 years.
Yeah.
Every week. I went and sat with a group of people and I remember there was things in those meditation groups that would come along that I couldn't even deal with. I would freeze up. I would freak out. And then, but I really got to know me. That's what it did for me. I really got to know who Julie was, not mm-hmm. all this other stuff going on the outside.
Yeah.
So it's all when you're looking in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's even the you can look at the concept of what's within is without, right? Like the biblical version of that, or the, you know, it's taught in neuro-linguistic programming of the mirror effect of who you are shows up outside of yourself.
Yes.
So your actual access to heal the world is through you, right? Like healing yourself.
Yes.
And that has the integrity now to, like, so that if we circle back to the savior complex, right? Like of thinking that I can save this person, I can help this person, I see the best in them. That can be a diversion from looking at ourselves.
I agree. Yes.
And in that distraction, there's a weird energy, right? Like of codependence, mm-hmm. of being being obsessed about almost our own addiction of being obsessed with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And we neglect ourselves thinking that we're supposed to do this.
Yes.
And that we come last. And moms, especially young moms, the programming is very strong for that. Like when we ask for help or there's an expectation that our parents were raised in and our grandparents, that's women's work. That's what you're supposed to do. And something's wrong with you if you're asking for help, yeah. Which is so not true.
No, of course.
So the learning to, you know, that would be, you know, one of the takeaways definitely when we're looking at this is building support groups like your meditation group, mm-hmm. right? Moms groups, Al-Anon, Codependence Anonymous. I have a healing group. We do energy healing together. We've met for over 5 years now, once a week. And we work on each other. We have a potluck. Yes. So it's like a women's healing group, really. Yeah. And then we do energy healing on each other and our families. And then we'll move out to like community and even working on the environment and the land. Wow. And or environmental things that are global things that are happening, right?
So is this something that you do through a meditation then, or is it? How are you?
Well, sometimes do a little bit of meditation just to ground, yeah. And create like a connection of space.
Yeah.
But no, it's an energy healing technique that we do where we're moving energy. I can quickly show you right now. So if you rub your hands together and then space them a little bit apart, you can kind of feel the heat between your hands, the yes. tingle. Yeah. If you can't, that would mean that you're dehydrated, right? Like a quick thing to see if we're hydrated is to feel the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
And if it's a little bit sweaty, you're hydrated. If it's silky, clear, clean, you're dehydrated. Unless you just washed your hands, then the oil's not there yet.
I'm hydrated.
Okay. Awesome.
All right.
Okay. So there's an energetic meridian in your body, goes from the tip of your nose up through the top of your head, the back of your head, all the way back down your spine through between your legs and back up like a big zipper. It's called okay. the governing meridian in traditional okay. Chinese medicine. And with the energy healing of your hands, like the power of your hands, there's different modalities like Reiki, healing touch. There's lots of healing, like healing with the palms of your hands. So if you take your hand over the bridge of your nose, the front of your forehead, top of your head, to the back of your head, and just stroke, you're moving the energy in your governing meridian by doing that. Now your governing meridian is connected to your central nervous system.
I feel tingling.
Good. Yeah. Wiggle your toes. So the tingles is the energy moving. Wiggle your toes, sends the energy down to your feet. Into the earth. So you don't get short circuited, like panic attacks, anxiety yeah. can be short circuited up here. Headaches, short circuited in inflammation up here. So wiggling your toes, going for a walk, putting your feet on the grass, yeah. you know, sending the energy, wiggling your toes has you think about your feet, boom, energy goes where you put your attention, right?
Yes, of course.
So when you wiggle your toes, you think about your feet and you're like, okay, so now all of a sudden the energy is dissipating from getting caught up top to down your body, down to your feet, and then into the earth. Wow. And the earth is our home. This is where we're perfectly set up to flourish.
Yes.
Right. And sending the energy down our body into the earth and trusting the earth to compost our energy, to transmute our energy back into sustenance if we're releasing toxins. Yeah. So, okay. So back to this of yes. releasing. So what we do in this energy group, and I also do in my hypnotherapy is testing the energy. So muscle testing, it's a whole nother conversation, but basically identifying what the distorted energy is. So here's the shortcut of, the energy hypnotherapy work that I do, is really fast and it's beyond logic. So the logical brain, if you think of left hemisphere, right hemisphere, yes. left hemisphere being, I guess I'm mirrored on here. So, but anyways,
it's okay. Andrew. It's okay.
The left okay. hemisphere being more the logical analytical brain, right?
Yes. Yes.
So accountants, engineers, people that really flourish, lawyers, tend to flourish in black and white thinking, right and wrong thinking,
right.
polarity thinking.
Okay.
The right hemisphere is more creative. inventive, can go all over the map. And like when we're dreaming and we have those abstract dreams and you're like, whoa, right? So it's through our right hemisphere we access into our subconscious. Our left hemisphere is like the gatekeeper for our right hemisphere. The left hemisphere, if you think of it like a bouncer at the front of the bar.
Yeah.
Determining what comes in or not.
Yeah.
Right. And if we feel safe, if we feel almost like if an accountant was asked to paint a beautiful picture,
yeah,
the accountant might say, well, why would I do that? Right? Because you're talking about a more logical brain. But if the accountant was given, okay, I'll pay you $500 to paint this picture, the accountant might go, oh, okay, I'll do that. Because there's an equation that makes sense to the left brain.
Right.
So the left brain is mostly how we are when we're wide awake. In our culture, we're very analytical. We're trained to be credible because we know certain things. And of course that's a good thing. I'm not discounting. That's a good thing.
Yes.
But there is a limitation. There's a limitation to what we are aware of. There's a limitation to what we know.
Yes.
And the right brain, there's no limitation. The right hemisphere is wide open. Mm. So creativity, invention, downloading energy from your higher levels, your spirit, your God, your like all of that spiritual energy comes through into your right hemisphere, into your subconscious programming. Now your left hemisphere is that gatekeeper that's determining what you want to accept. It's there, but that RAS we were talking about, the reticular activation system, is filtering, right? So hypnotherapy gives you access to the right hemisphere right away. The energy healing, the energy work is looking for the distorted energy that's in your unconscious that's getting in the way of you living the life that you want to live. All the logic in the world is not going to go there and identify it. It's not necessarily logical. Sometimes it is, but a lot of it's not. And it's just distorted energy. It's like you have a heart murmur because your great, great grandpa had a heart attack. How's your logic going to go there? Unless you knew that, because you might not know that.
Right.
But the energy work can identify that. And then we release it. Mm. Right. So we release it by doing this step.
Yeah.
And there's some other things that you can do as well, but this moves the energy from your subconscious. And you can also install the high frequency by doing the opposite from the back to the front. So that's some of the work that I do in the hypnotherapy.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to be standing in the grocery store.
So. I know. You can actually just move your hair too. It looks like you're just playing with your hair.
Yes, exactly.
Driving.
Yes.
Do it one-handed when you're driving.
It's so strange though, Jill, because I'm serious. I can feel tingling in my head. And I'm not even touching my head.
Yeah. Well, your energy field is mostly like arm's length around you. Right.
Okay.
If you're not feeling well, it will shrink in. If you're feeling really confident and strong, it'll expand out.
Okay.
So you don't actually have to touch your hair.
Yeah.
You can just do it over top. And a really common one can just be like declaring, I release anxiety from my body.
Yes.
Right. I release low self-esteem from my body.
Yeah.
I release insecurity from my body. Whatever you might be, you can trust your intuition, or you can learn how to do muscle testing. I have courses that teach you this kind of stuff. And it's that you don't have to be riddled with the fear-based energy that is in the world.
Yes.
And that you might be struggling with. You can move it quite quickly.
There are as you're talking in my brain, I have all these people I know where it's just like all these people that could benefit so much from what just even listening to this. This little bit that you've shared today, it's really powerful. It's really powerful. And I really didn't understand it. You know, I read a little bit about what you did, but I'm like, okay, and off I go to my next thing, right? But I didn't really understand it. And
Well, there's a whole body of work in alternative health, and the avenue that I found has been, what resonates for me.
Yes.
And, you know, if this resonates, then you'd want to look further into it. But this information is not widely taught, right? Unless you go looking for it, it's not taught in schools. It's not often even taught in, like, I've taught social workers and psychologists in my courses because it's not taught there. Uh-huh. And so it is available if you look for it. And if you find people, you know, whether it's me or somebody else, I mean, I'd love it to be me. And I am also a belief of divine timing and alignment. So if something resonates, you want to move forward in that area for healing. And right now I'm writing another book to explain this, right? Like it's because I do get that most people don't know this. It's not difficult. Yes. But it's just not widely known.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I know it, quite often, you know, you go in to see your doctor and you know, there's, well, how do you feel? But there's never, why do you feel like that? What's going on in your life to cause you to feel like that? And I think, I mean, I know doctors are so busy and we're under such a shortage that, you know, they don't have time, I guess, for a 20-minute conversation or a half-hour conversation with each of their patients. But
well, and they're not schooled in this.
And they're not schooled
in it. They're not schooled in it. They don't have the time. There's huge pressure on the medical system right now.
Yes.
And it's not part of their curriculum.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and it's a huge impact on your health.
Yes.
Like when you see, like, having a meditation group like you spoke of, or like a healing circle that I have, and working with coaches and hypnotherapists and energy healers, gives me a support system that has been informed in this.
Yes.
And they understand, you know, these shortcuts of healing that we can do.
Yeah.
But the medical system, there's definitely like absolutely a place for it. We need the medical system, and they're not taught this kind of information.
Yes.
Yet they're usually the ones that we go to when something's wrong.
Yes, of course. Of course. Yeah. Can I ask you, I want to ask you just kind of shift a little bit, because I work with a lot of salespeople, a lot of small business owners, and they, I find, are blocked. So so we've talked a lot about healing, and I believe that it's still going to be a form of healing that they're going to need, because there's a reason that they're blocked. But what kind of, do you work with anybody like that? Business people or sales people?
Yeah.
And so can you tell me a little bit about how that can benefit them?
So I mentioned a bit ago about like that upper limiting feeling, that glass ceiling.
Okay.
So when you're an entrepreneur, when you're a business owner, when you're, you know, so juicy. So it can be that we use this work for like crisis to normalcy, right? Like just getting to a baseline of, okay, like I feel like I'm okay. And, the anxiety dissipates. I've got some tools to manage with life. Right. We can. And that's where I started. Right. Yeah. It's where a lot of people start.
Yeah.
But you can use this for anything. Right. You can use this to move from like, OK, to life's pretty good. And from pretty good to, hey, it's good. And from good to, oh, this is really great. And then from great to, hey, this is ecstatic, like exquisite.
Yes.
Right. It's like that upper limiting energy is where we experience. I worked with a woman, and her upper limit was running a business around the $1 million mark.
Wow.
And she had like $7 million companies that over time she would always, either she would crash and go bankrupt at that point, or she would sell and then she would start building again. So that was her upper limit, which sounds pretty good, right?
Like, yes. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
But she wanted to have like building upon building, right? Like a scaffold infrastructure of strength to keep expanding and building bigger and bigger.
Right.
And yes. there was energy. There was some programming that was getting in the way of her at the $1 million mark. So we did some work, and then boom, she broke through, and then like, boom, now she's running a multi-million-dollar company. Right. And she's able to grow through that. So yeah, a number of my clients actually are in that good to great, great to exquisite level. where they identify they have the tools to run a business. They have the tools to do their talents and their craft, but there's some energy that's getting in the way of expanding to the next level.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So we do sessions to identify that. And this is one thing that's really cool too, I haven't mentioned, is that because the subconscious is abstract, you don't have to excavate and dig in and poke the beast. There's a point where it's like, there's enough information that you can, it's like bringing the unconscious information to the conscious awareness, and then it can be released and transmuted. And so you don't have to analyze and study and obsess with, I got to figure all this out. Sometimes you don't, like sometimes it's abstract.
Yeah.
And you can do it with colors. You can do it with shapes. You can do it with, like, you know, processes that logically you can't track because they're not logical. They're energetic.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought of us being logical, like Newtonian physics, like the cause and effect.
Right.
We are way more than, you know, a physical box. Like, we are energetic systems. And we have a very, very small percentage of physicality in us. And it's like something like 0.000123 4. I don't know what the exact number is, but it's tiny. Like, we're 99% space. We're right. Energy.
Yeah.
And if we treat ourselves like we're just an object, a 3D object, we're going to get very slow progress. But when you go into the energy, now you're into the frequency of what's going on. You're into the space of who you are. I know it sounds kind of like, what's she talking about?
No. I believe what you're saying. I get it.
Yeah.
I do.
Then you've got like quantum efficiency, right? Like, yes. It's like, boom, yes. Things change and it's beyond logic.
Yes.
But you know, like I often say, proof's in the pudding, right? Yeah. Like, what's the outcome? How's your life changing and altering and transforming? That's like your access for more and more and more.
Yes. Yeah.
Figuring it out can actually be a sneaky form of resistance.
Ah.
You're trying to actually slow it down by 3D-ing it, like by trying to connect all the puzzle pieces and put them all together.
Yeah.
This puzzle piece is way beyond a two-dimensional it's a 3D puzzle, it's a 4D puzzle, it's a 5D puzzle, like it's way beyond what the brain can understand.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's really looking at like the quality of your life.
Yes.
Is your quality of your life improving and going in the direction you want?
Mm-hmm.
There's the proof. Don't worry about figuring it out. You might have enough information to kind of put some of the puzzle pieces together where it's oh, that came from like the grandpa's heart attack is the heart murmur. Okay.
Right.
And now I don't have a heart murmur. How did that happen? Who cares? It happened.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Excuse me. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, and water. So good.
Yes.
Like, it's so perfect that you just drank water, right?
Yes.
Because it's such an important, like we should be having like 2 to 3 liters of water a day.
Mm-hmm.
And to create the conductivity to allow for the energy to move in our body and to allow for the purging of the toxicities as we expand, right?
Yeah.
We're releasing toxicity as our cells are expanding the frequency. So we need that to flush out of us.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's so perfect that you just had a sip of water.
Yeah, I need, excuse me, I needed it.
Okay, releasing whatever's caught in your throat.
Releasing
whatever's caught in your throat. Tap your feet, wiggle your toes, releasing whatever's caught in your throat.
Yeah. So what would you say? So to someone who's listening right now, and maybe they've been living the same year, the same month.
Groundhog Day thing. Yeah.
Going in that cycle over and over again.
Yep.
What kind of advice could you give to them?
You know, for me, when I was living in that loop, that Groundhog Day kind of loop of over and over again, and I was trying to also all sorts of things to make life better. What made the difference was that a deacon of our church said this to me, is that the best thing I can do to help him, the person I was, my husband at the time that I was trying to help, was to help yourself, was to go into you. And so in that of like the seeing that as you heal, you automatically shift the people around you. Mm-hmm. So coming back to yourself, a thing that you can actually do is like tapping on your thymus here. So if you think of like your breastbone, your heart chakra is right here and your throat chakra, right?
Yeah.
So you're tapping on there to activate the energy inside yourself, to come back, like the all the telomeres at the ends of our chromosomes are pointed out when you're highly sensitive. You can walk into a room and you know what's going on without a word being spoken, right? Because you're so aware.
Yeah.
Usually from childhood or inherited energy of dysfunction, abuse. So we know what's going on. So we're so tuned in to everything outside in our environment. You want to actually turn those telomeres back into yourself to connect with who you are. And one way you can do it, simply tapping into your thymus.
Yeah.
And connecting back into who you are. Like, I am here is a great one. It can be different phrases. It can be mine is mine. It can be I am here. I love myself. I am capable. Like short little phrases like that while tapping your chest, tapping your heart. And then doing this motion for other people's stuff. Of and it can be a phrase of yours is yours. Yeah. You're capable of your journey.
Yeah.
I honor you for you.
Yeah.
And I honor me for me. Right. Something like that.
So that's kind of keeping that negative energy away.
And it's not like a harsh F you energy.
No,
it's like,
no.
sorry, I don't know if, well, I didn't really say it. So
yeah, no. I understand.
It's not like seeing others as capable for their journey.
Yes.
That you don't need to jump in and save them. That can actually get in the way of them. You know, we have that that understanding of, you know, everyone needs a rock bottom.
Yes.
Whatever that is for people, so that gets back into the, you know, are you moving from crisis to okay? Where's your rock bottom? Where's your tolerance level of what's not okay anymore?
Right.
And sometimes that's really harsh, especially if addictions are involved.
Yeah.
But it could be, you know, like the client with the $1 million mark, right? That her tolerance was I wanna break through that $1 million mark. Right. So wherever you're seeing that you're collapsing other people's stuff into you and muddling up,
mm-hmm.
and honoring that other people have their journey and their rock bottom, their threshold is up to them. And your threshold is up to yours.
Yes.
So you don't collapse. When we collapse, it's hard to distinguish how to reclaim our power.
Wow.
Because we've given it away and it's entangled with somebody else.
Yeah.
So that would be like a real 101 start and something you can practice your whole life.
Yes.
Right. And just lovingly tapping your chest, your upper chest, throat area to come back to you and wiggle your toes at the same time. Wiggle your toes because you can release stuff by tapping your chest here.
Yeah.
And you want it to move down your body into the earth's frequency.
Yes.
Right. So it moves. So you don't like panic attacks and anxiety and stuff like that is where the energy is caught up here.
Yeah.
You want to move it down our body, release it into the earth. Yeah. We are nature. We're not just like part of nature. We are nature and we forget that.
Yes. You know, Jill, that just that little bit is so helpful. I think it will be so helpful for somebody that's watching or listening to be able to do in times of stress.
Yeah,
but,
totally.
But I think, because we're getting to the point where we're going to close here in a minute. And I would just like to say to everyone that don't live the same year, the same month over and over and over again. We don't have to. There's a better life out there for us.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to take some courage and step out of our comfort zone and out of our fear, if possible, and do what we can to help ourselves. And that little bit, I think, will be. I'm going to use it.
I still use it.
Yes, right? Totally.
Especially if you're sensitive, right? If you're sensitive, it's a superpower, but it can be a curse without some tools.
Right.
This is one tool that it becomes more like a superpower because you bring your energy back into yourself.
Right.
You tune back into yourself so you can have discernment.
Yes.
So you can make wise decisions.
Yes.
And it steps you out of people pleasing, right? So you tune back into yourself while honoring other people's path.
Yes. Yes. Of course. Of course. Yeah. Their path is their path and they have to sort that out for themselves.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Jill, oh my goodness. Thank you so much for, it was just so enlightening and so interesting. And I believe helpful. You helped me with some stuff that I'm going to use some of your tools for sure. And you know, it gets you thinking like, oh, you know, like what am I stuck with? Because I think all of us are stuck at something somewhere along the line.
It's part of the human condition.
Absolutely.
Nothing's wrong with us that we have stuff stuck on us. We just don't have to stay stuck.
We don't have to stay stuck. Exactly.
Yeah. It's That's part of the human condition. And to reclaim our power is part of this tapping. And that there's always something, I would say, like, if you want a words of wisdom to share.
Yes.
It's not our fault. It is our responsibility. And we can do something to improve our life.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, we could go on and on and on.
I know.
We may have to do this again.
Okay.
I would just really like to thank you very much for two things, for writing in the ninth version of our book, Women Like Me.
My pleasure and privilege. Thank you for inviting me in.
Oh, thank you. And also for being willing to come here with me today and share your wisdom to all of the people, men and women, but of course, most of our listeners are women, and just sharing with them how there's help. There's avenues out there if they don't want to stay stuck. And even in their little bit of fear, I would encourage people to reach out for sure. So in the details of the video and of the podcast, you will find a little bit of information about Jill and you're going to find ways to reach out to her. So if you want to investigate what Jill can actually do for you or help you with, by all means, she's very approachable. She's obviously lovely, as you all know from watching this. So don't be afraid. So feel confident in reaching out and see if she can help you with something. And she's very knowledgeable. So I feel very confident in referring her out. But all of her information is going to be below in the details section. So don't be shy, people. Don't stay stuck. Make sure you reach out. So thanks again, Jill, for doing this and being here with us. I appreciate it so much.
You are very welcome. You're very welcome. And I really feel like this journey has been part of me being on my soul's calling to support other people. So yes, please reach out. And we can't do this by ourselves. We're not designed to be by ourselves. We're designed to be with each other, to support each other. So if you do feel resonance here, I would love to connect and see what we can discover to get you on a better track.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Jill. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Women Like Me, Stories and Business. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform and tell a friend. Don't miss this opportunity to transform your life and business. Let the journey begin.